talk today is the 12th in a series of 55, 56. Who knows, huh? It seems that I pick a section and there's just like two or three words that basically make up a whole discussion. So this may take a while to finish up this series. The series is about chapters 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation, about getting a clearer picture of what Yahshua values in us, what he sees as our shortcomings, what he looks for in us to encourage us, what dangers he says lays ahead of us, what he prescribes for our reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. And finally, these chapters are about his assurance of his faithfulness in the form of promises to us, leading to hope that we may have cause to endure to the end. To endure to the end. To endure what? Well, this time of the year, being in mid-December, we are afforded the opportunity and the privilege and the challenge of enduring the laity of Nike. You know who he is, right? That big fat guy with the red coat riding a reindeer. Well, surprisingly, there may be a connection there. But the laity of Nike is written a number of times in the book of Revelation. And in Greek, it's the Nikolaos. They are the ones who worshipped Nike in their multitude of deities. And if you recall from the introduction, 11 sermons ago, to the seven assemblies discussion, we focused on the words of Yahshua in Revelation 2, verse 6, speaking to the assembly at Ephesus, "But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." Now, the Nicolaitans are the Nikolaos pagans who brought false doctrine into the assembly at Ephesus. These words follow stern warning that Yahshua speaks in verse 5. "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your menorah from its place, unless you repent." But I think Yahshua means it when he commends us for hating the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I know that sounds strange, that he would commend us for our hate, but it's what we hate that he's commending us for. As King David said on a number of occasions, he hates those who stand against you, Yahweh. And I don't believe it's a coincidence that the Greek word Nikolaos bears a strong resemblance to the idea of Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas is a perfect statement of who he, being Nicholas, represents, for he is an anointed pagan, basically, anointed by man. We all understand that Christ Mass comes from a pagan ritual honoring the venerable day of the sun. That's S-U-N. Renamed and syncretized with the advent of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, given by Yahweh to the Israelite nation. So, the sun was given, S-O-N, to the Israelite nation. But they've taken that and distorted it to the complete opposite of what Yahweh wants. The celebration of Christmas is to Yahshua's faith the same as the celebrations the Nicolaitans have to the righteous worship by the saints at Ephesus. The righteous worship that was taught by Paul, Shaul. As much as Yahshua showed us mercy by taking our stripes, by standing in for us and the stripes that we should have taken, and giving his life in our place so that we may have eternal life, there is a line beyond which we are not to cross. And that line is drawn rigidly and without mercy at false worship of our Heavenly Father. That's where the line is drawn. And as we'll shortly read, what I want to focus on today is the key of David. A lot of people don't know what that is, but I hope to elucidate a little bit of what that is. You might be wondering right now, why am I talking about Nicolaitans and Christmas and all that? Well, you shall soon find out. So let's continue our examination of Yahshua's criticisms to the seven assemblies, beginning at Revelation 3, verse 7. Revelation 3 and verse 7 begins, "And to the leader of the assembly of the called out ones in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works, see, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have but little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." So here we have Yahshua, who's announcing that he is the one who has the key of David. And, of course, keys open things and close things. And he's saying that he has a key that no one can open if he has closed it, and no one can close and someone tries to open it. Now these two verses, just these two verses, 7 and 8, are jam-packed with knowledge and wisdom resting just beyond this door. We know that Yahweh is the one who is holy and true, acting through Yahshua, who has the key of David. So what is the key of David? And what door is he opening and shutting that no one can do likewise? What is beyond the open door? Well, I suggest that the door that he alone can open and shut is the door to the kingdom of Yahweh, opened with the key of David. The door itself, I believe, is Yahshua, and he claims that he is the door who holds the key of David. Notice that the words of Revelation 3, 7, and 8 are written to the assembly at Philadelphia. Phila means an empathetic love for others, and Delphia means womb. Well, obviously, the tangible meaning of the name Philadelphia is the love towards one's siblings. But obviously, also, we know that the members of the Philadelphia Assembly were not born of the same mother. No. One's siblings, in the spiritual sense, are those of the same faith. The same faith that Yahshua has, the same testimony. And that testimony is obedience to the Father. Matthew 25:31 begins, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in.'" I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Master, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, who? My brethren, you did it to me. Philadelphia, brotherly love. Yahshua calls us brethren. He is our eldest brother, and he teaches us of his and our Father's ways. He is the one who is given responsibility for the Father's children, first to the house of Judah, and second to the nations, where the house of Israel has been scattered. The Father's house is an orderly house, run by a set of rules, laws, judgments, and ordinances. Disobedient children, after receiving instruction and having attained the age of accountability, if disobedient, are not able to enter the household again. Why? They have lost or thrown away or rejected the key of David. If you would turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 26. Hebrews 10, 26. Which pretty much confirms the plight that we will be faced with if we indeed are disobedient to the law of Yahweh. Hebrews 10:26 begins, For if we sin willfully, and sin is the transgression of the law of Yahweh, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins if we willfully disobey the Father. Yahshua's sacrifice, the pain he went through and giving up his life, is of no significance to those who have received the knowledge of the truth and choose to sin willfully. Verse 28, anyone who has rejected the law of Moses, I skipped verse 27, which says, if a person is disobedient, they are subject to a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. And the adversary is one who follows the adversary, Satan, the one who goes against the law of Yahweh. Verse 28, anyone who has rejected Moses' law, you know, the law of Yahweh given to Moses, anyone who has rejected the law of Yahweh dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment, I mean, what's worse than death? Well, I suppose eternal death would be worse than death. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of Yahweh underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Now, who is the Spirit of grace? Well, Yahweh is the Spirit of grace. Verse 30, For we know him who said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says Yahweh. And again, Yahweh will judge his people. It is a fearful thing, verse 31, to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains. This is the writer of Hebrews speaking. You had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Yes, the possession, the mansion that Yahshua is preparing for us is now in heaven, but will descend to earth in which the righteous will live. Look at Revelation 21 and verse 2 for that confirmation. Verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. You need to endure. You need to go the distance. So that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you may receive the promise, which is given in verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. Verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. And perdition is destruction or ruin. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So I say, let us not reject the word given to us, for there is no other way to enter into the kingdom other than through Yahshua the Messiah. The book of John, if you would go there. Book of John in chapter 10. Beginning at verse 1. This is just to confirm with another witness for what Yahshua said, that it is, he is the only one by whom he can enter the kingdom. John 10, starting at verse 1, begins, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Verse 6, Yahshua used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. I want to draw your attention to the first verse here. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Is this about a sheepfold? Is this about a pen of sheep? No, this is about those who are in Messiah, those who worship Yahweh and obey the law. And he's saying here that there's only one way through, and that's through the door of Messiah, and to follow what the Messiah does. He obeyed the Father. He did exactly what the Father told him to do. And he's saying that if you enter the sheepfold by climbing up over the wall or tunneling through, or you know, you're not of the sheepfold. You're not of that fold. And for me, this represents those who make their own laws, make their own rules, those who believe that the laws of Yahweh are not enough, or they're not complete, or they no longer exist, or they're defective in some way. These are those who try to climb in to the sheepfold by some other way. And the last verse, verse 6, Yahshua used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Why not? They didn't have the key of David. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11 and verse 49. which begins, "Therefore the wisdom of Yahweh also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers." Lawyers are scribes who are responsible for the correct interpretation of the law of Yahweh. "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." They didn't have the key of knowledge. They didn't understand how important the law of Yahweh is. And this is the key of David: knowledge. Psalm 22, if you would turn to that. The key of David is knowledge. And sometimes that knowledge is not just black and white. Sometimes we have to look at the verses we're reading and understand it in context. In Psalm 22 is a perfect example of that. For it's black and white, and there are many, many people who do not understand what he is saying here. Chapter 22, verse 1 in Psalms. "My El, my mighty one, why have you forsaken me?" Okay. And you recognize these words, I'm sure. These are the words uttered by Yahshua as he was dying on the torture stake. Why did he utter them? Was he forsaken? Well, as we read down, we'll see that he was not. And the reason that he uttered those words was because of what the rest of the psalm spoke, but only to those who were granted the key of David, the key of knowledge. Here, David is writing the words Yahshua is speaking from the stake upon which he was impaled, declaring to those who understand who he was. Hear the words of Yahshua. Let's go to verse 7 of chapter 22. Verse 7 of Psalm 22. "All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, 'He trusted in Yahweh. Let him rescue him.'" How prophetic is that? Right? You could read that and believe, like those who are uttering those words, that he was a false prophet, and he's saying, "Yeah, you believe in him, let him be rescued." They did not know that they were uttering prophecy at that point. And the next phrase, "Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." Okay, now how instructive is that? He delights in him. Yahshua delights in Yahweh. Yahweh delights in Yahshua. This is instructive. Now go to verse 14, where David is writing the words that Yahshua is in effect speaking from the stake. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked," and the word wicked there certainly refers to Satan. There are times when Yahshua castigated the Pharisees. He even called them the assembly of Satan. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And this is clearly Yahshua speaking. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. This is David speaking. The words of Yahshua, in essence, on the stake. And I wonder sometimes whether or not David really knew what he was saying. I mean, I suspect he did know what he was saying. If you go down to verse 22 in Psalm 22, again, the words are written down by David, but these are the words spoken in effect by Yahshua. I will declare your name to my brethren. Again, Yahshua declares that we are from the same womb, that we shall be born from above in our resurrection. We are brothers in that womb. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Hallelujah. You who fear Yahweh, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he, Yahweh, hidden his face from him, Yahshua. But when he, Yahshua, cried to him, Yahweh, he heard, Yahweh heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise Yahweh. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom of Yahweh, for the kingdom is Yahweh's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of Yahweh to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people, to a nation, who will be born, this is prophetic, who will be born that he has done this. The key of David is not just the key of authority granted by Yahweh alone. Sorry. Let me restate that. The key of David is not just the key of authority. It is the key of authority. But it is also the key granted by Yahweh alone, to understand who he, Yahweh, and his son are, who we are, who we have the potential to become, and what is required of us to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. We have been given the true meaning of salvation and redemption, the true ways of Yahweh, and the will to obey his law. The veil has been lifted from our eyes. Enough to see past the deceptions of Satan, past his false doctrines, and past the false celebrations of the Nicolauses and the St. Nicholases. Has this knowledge been granted to everyone? And we know that Yahshua used parables not to make it easier for people to understand the truth, but actually to make sure they do not understand. Turn to Matthew in chapter 13. Let's take a look at this. Matthew 13 and verse 10 begins. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. It's confusing to us mortals why some have been chosen, some have been called out, and some have not. But we know that Yahweh, through Yahshua, is perfect in His mercy and perfect in His judgment. A final thought from the book of Revelation and the first chapter, verse 18, regarding keys. Revelation 1:18 says, this is Yahshua speaking, I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and of death. One of the first things Yahshua reveals to us is his, in this verse, is His power over the grave. Meaning He can unlock, having the key of David, our graves and bring us up into everlasting life. In the same breath, He reveals His power over death. The grave and death are essentially two different things. He reveals His power over death. He is perfect in His mercy to those who worship Yahweh in spirit and truth. And He is perfect in His judgment who reject Yahweh and His law. May your eyes and ears be opened, and may you remain steadfast in obedience to the Father. In the name of Yahshua the Messiah.